Welcome to Food Psych, a podcast dedicated to critiquing diet and wellness culture and answering your questions about intuitive eating and the anti-diet approach. I'm your host, Christy Harrison, and I'm a registered dietitian, certified intuitive eating counselor, journalist, and author of the books Anti-Diet, The Wellness Trap, and the new Emotional Eating, Chronic Dieting, Binge Eating, and Body Image Workbook, which are all available wherever you get your books or at ChristyHarrison.com/books. That's ChristyHarrison.com/books. And by the way, on this show, we avoid diet culture details like weight and calorie numbers, but we don't censor swear words or other adult language, so listener discretion is advised. Hey there. Welcome to Food Psych. I know I said we're on a monthly schedule now, and we are, but I just wanted to pop in here for Eating Disorders Awareness Week and share a little teaser of next month's episode that is relevant right now. It's with Akira Gilbert, the new CEO of Project Heal, and their theme for the week is Let Your Community Be Your Compass. So in this mini episode, Akira shares the importance of community when it comes to eating disorder recovery, her goals with Project Heal, and what to do when community feels like a tricky thing. And of course, there's lots more in the main episode, which is a classic food psych format where we talk about her relationship with food growing up and how she found healing. That'll be coming out in a couple weeks, but meanwhile, I hope you enjoy this little preview. Akira, welcome to Food Psych. I'm so excited to talk with you today.
I'm excited to be here with you, Christy. Thank you.
So before we dive in, I'd love to have you tell us a bit about yourself and the work that you do.
Yes. So my name is Akira Gilbert. I am the CEO of Project Heal, and ultimately we're creating equitable access to eating disorder care. So we offer a program portfolio of services that ensure that folks who say, I might have an eating disorder and I want to figure out if I do, or I know I have an eating disorder, how do I get help, are able to get access to the resources that they need, and all for free.
Amazing. So you've just taken over, as we're recording this, you've recently taken over as the new CEO of Project Heal. What are you looking to accomplish with the organization in the coming years, and how will its mission be shifting from what it was in the past?
Ultimately, our vision is going to be the same. We want to make sure that everyone has the opportunity to heal from their eating disorder and has the resources to heal. But we also prioritize those who have experienced systemic barriers to care. So folks who have experienced weight stigma, racial discrimination, have socioeconomic barriers to care. Ultimately, I think that when you think about an eating disorder, many people tend to get a specific image in their mind around who has one. And so we're working to not only break down that stigma, but make sure that folks who may have been negatively impacted by that stigma don't have to go without care.
And right now, as we air this, it's Eating Disorders Awareness Week, and Project Heal's theme for the week is Let Your Community Be Your Compass. So can you tell me what that means and its significance for specific communities?
Of course. So this actually goes back to, I'm currently CEO of Project Heal, but actually before this, I was the founder and CEO of Body Reborn, which was an intersectional healing space specifically for communities of color and folks who struggled with their relationship with food and their body. And ultimately, when I was going through my own healing journey, and I still am, it's a never-ending process, I realized that number one, I was getting a lot of extremely medical options for care. So I was offered therapy when I could eventually afford it. I was offered dietetics, and all of those things were crucial to my healing and recovery journey once I was able to actually access them. But the thing that was able to not only launch, but help maintain me on that journey was community, was other folks who not only shared identities with me and were able to mirror my life experiences, but also show me that with these barriers that I'm facing and with these identities that I hold, how do I figure out how to get resources that actually work for me? How do I have friends and loved ones who support me on my journey and understand that this isn't something that I'm necessarily choosing to do, not choosing to have an eating disorder, but they're actually there to be my biggest cheerleader. They're there to help me find the resources that I didn't think I deserved.
There's so much to say about that, about community and how it works and why people don't have access to the communities they need and deserve to recover and heal. something that often comes up for me when thinking about community and talking about it with clients is that community can be tricky for some people, right? Group dynamics can be tough for some of us, myself included. And, you know, family dynamics and things like that, that maybe have engendered trauma in the past. And if you're in a family or a community or even like a subculture where disordered eating is normalized, I think it can be really hard to do something different in that environment and to find support in your community. So I'm curious if you have any thoughts on what it takes to build a truly supportive community and to have community care in your life when some of those barriers are in place.
Oh, that's a wonderful question of what it takes. Ultimately, it takes three things. Number one is enough of an overlap of shared identities in order to support one another. Number two is building trust. And number three is a common purpose that is positive. And so to that first point of having an overlap of shared experiences, have you ever had somebody come up to you and try their best to relate to you and you're like, you do not share enough experiences with me, that you're providing me with support and advice, and I appreciate it. I appreciate you going out of your way. And yet, and still, this is not helpful to me. It doesn't feel resonant. And so, having enough of that overlap so that you're not necessarily consistently triggering one another, but you are able to have a bit of a mirror, if you will. And then, next is the ability to build trust. It's very common saying hurt people hurt people. And while that is sometimes true, we often see that there is a tendency to hold on to a lack of trust, even when trying to build community. And so oftentimes folks will say, well, I want to build these deep relationships, but I'm not willing to be vulnerable and expose myself. And that is the risk of building community and building authentic relationships, is letting go of all of the resources that you've built up that protect you in terms of keeping yourself closed off and unavailable, and opening yourself up just enough to where, yes, you might risk getting hurt again, and you have to measure what that means against your healing, right? So how much are you able to open yourself up to the right people who truly want to support you? And then the third thing I'll say is around, you know, I mentioned that overlap of identities and building trust, but also finding folks who have a shared level of hope. And so what's a common thing in peer support spaces is sometimes we can get so stuck on all the things that are going wrong that we can't appropriately appreciate or drive toward what is going right, that we can't be grateful for the things that are going right. And so a combination of those three factors, as I mentioned, along with putting yourself in different spaces, one of the best things that I think I've ever done is intentionally ask people. I would like drop tidbits into conversations and start to open myself up to new people and just speak very lightly about the challenges that I was having and ask them if they knew anybody who had also gone through that. And so it sounds slightly formal in a networking way, but it truly was to build my network of people who might know other folks who were dealing with similar challenges. Because there was a time in which I didn't have relationships that I would have considered extremely deep and extremely meaningful, but I knew that I needed to find them some way. And so online was one way. I have friends now, especially during COVID, that I'm just meeting them in person for the first time because we build those relationships online. And so different forums, honestly, like the comment sections of certain people on social media, pages that you consider to be more positive, uplifting, but also perhaps around a shared challenge. Oftentimes people in those comment sections can be your new source of community. If you say, I have no other ones, I would say be very intentional about the pages that you go to with that, because it can obviously go in the opposite direction. And then again, putting yourself out there just enough to where you feel like other people can help you build your community.
Yeah, I think that's really helpful. And I love the idea of like asking people in your existing network if they know someone who's dealing with some of the same issues to find people in sort of an offline way. And I'm really excited to talk with you about that more in the main episodes. We have a full food psych episode coming up in a few weeks as people are listening to this. And we're going to dive into your history, your healing journey, you know, the whole process and how you came to do the work that you do today. So I'm really excited to share that with folks down the line. But for anyone who's just listening to this teaser episode, can you tell us where people can find you, learn more about your work and Project Heal's work, and more importantly, or perhaps most importantly, to participate in Eating Disorders Awareness Week?
Yes. So if you want to learn more about Eating Disorder Awareness Week, you can visit us on our website at www.theprojectheal.org. You can also find us on Instagram at Project Heal, because ultimately this Eating Disorder Awareness Week, we want everyone to be in our community with us. And so you'll get a sneak peek not only into the really exciting things that we have to come this year, but also be able to participate in some of the really exciting programming that we've got going on. So we've got folks that will be featuring during Eating Disorder Awareness Week and collaborating with on Instagram. And so if you're a fan of either Instagram Lives, or you say, you know what, this sounds like incredible work, how do I get involved or how do I benefit from it? You can check us out there.
Awesome. We'll put links to that in the show notes so people can find it, and definitely want to encourage everyone to tune in for your full episode in a few weeks. Thank you so much for being here. It's really exciting to talk with you.
You as well, Christy. And thank you all.
So that's our show. Thanks again to our guests for being here, and thanks to you for listening. If you found this podcast helpful, I'd be so grateful if you take a moment to subscribe, rate, and review it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. You can see all the places to subscribe at ChristyHarrison.com/subscribe. That's ChristyHarrison.com/subscribe. If you're looking for help healing your own relationship with food, grab my free audio guide, 7 Simple Strategies for Finding Peace and Freedom with Food. Just go to ChristyHarrison.com/strategies to get it. That's ChristyHarrison.com/strategies. To get full show notes and a transcript of this episode, go to ChristyHarrison.com/foodpsych. And to get the transcript, find the episode page and scroll down to the bottom to enter your email address. A big thanks to Softer Sounds for audio editing and production, and to administrative assistant Julianne Witasek for helping me out with all the moving parts that go into producing this show. Our album art was photographed by Abby Moore Photography, and the logo was designed by Melissa Alam. Our theme song was written and performed by Carolyn Pennypacker-Riggs, and I'm your host and executive producer, Christy Harrison. Thanks again for listening, and until next time, stay psyched.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.